showtime.
It's always showtime. We are always ready to go at a moment's notice.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It's a big moment, though.
Chris Ann, you've got to be proud. Like, we're kind of, would you call this the halfway point?
I think we're
like dead in the middle, right?
Yep, we're on second base and looking at home.
So how are we feeling?
You know what? It's a record attendance, record number of exhibitors, record number of sessions. You know, records are meant to be broken, and we've broken all of them this week. And I'm incredibly proud of the CGA team and our board of directors, our advisory panel, for all the hard work they put in 362 days a year for a three-day show.
I know a lot of people have been talking. We've interviewed a ton of folks, and just talking about, number one, the amount of people, nailed that, but also just that it's the right people, and the amount of networking. We've been right here in the thick of it, and to hear this place buzz yesterday, and in those receptions, that networking is so valuable, not just for vendors, but for our industry, period.
You never know what's going to be at the other end of a handshake.
No doubt.
And we look at our survey results, and every year the number one biggest value folks get out of the CGA conference is the networking. I think we've hit that perfect blend of it's okay to have fun and work. You know, you're taking time away from your families. You've made a conscious decision to be here. You've got a real job when you get home. So let's provide ample opportunity to fix the problem at hand and meet the people who can lend that hand to do it.
I would absolutely agree, and I'm going to share what I always call as now knowledge-sharing events. Because even though it's a networking event, I walk around and I hear and I'm involved in these conversations, and there are so many industry conversations of how we can be better. The topic of 50 and 5 is a buzz still. So it's, you know, wasn't last year. It is still going on, and people are talking about, again, how to not just meet that, but break that record. So how can we do even better than 50 and 5? And rising to the challenge, what you guys folks, that's been the buzz here. People are sharing what they're doing, and it's catching on.
It's fantastic to see, you know, do people get it?
Yep.
And that's always a question when you put it out there. And if you build it, will they come? Well, they came in masses. And to a destination not as easy to get to as some of our others, but what a beautiful property and landscape we're at.
Gorgeous.
To be able to have these tougher conversations. But I agree with you. The 50 and 5, and even this morning with our keynote, that deviance of safety.
Yeah.
When people are making judgment calls versus phone calls.
Yeah.
Normalization of deviance is very real, and it is how we got here, right?
Yep.
I love that message. Lots of great sessions going on. We're about to kick off again this afternoon. We got some fun tomorrow, too.
We do.
Like you
we
said,
do.
There's, I think we're going up the cog train.
I believe so, yes. Yeah. I think we signed up for that.
Yep.
I've never been up there.
Golf was amazing. That was like a bucket list golf place for me.
Yes, yes.
I don't know. I mean, you're a golfer, right?
I am. I've yet to play it, but I knew it was a six hour round of golf, and no one complained. I got to see tremendous photos from everyone. So,
well, we did the Jeep tour. I'll just jump in. Ash and I did, and we loved it. Far exceeded expectations. And just being up where we were at 7,300 feet was mesmerized.
Yes.
Absolutely mesmerized.
Oh, it's great to hear.
Yeah.
Pitter patter of the cornhole boards going on behind us. You would think we don't really work here, but seriously, we've been working hard all week. We're going to work hard for the next 2 days. This place is awesome.
I agree. It's sessions have been wall to wall. The speakers have put a lot of time and energy into perfecting their presentations, and I think that shows a tremendous amount of respect. You know, I looked this morning at the breakfast, and we're set for 800. We were set for 800 yesterday, and we had 23 open seats. You know, people come to this conference to be in it from sunup to sundown. And we've all been to the conferences where that's not the case. So when I look around, that's the biggest hallmark of success, when those presenters are knocking it out of the park and the people in the room are asking questions and engaged and want more. And that's the sign of a good show.
And you're not going to get out of it. You're going to get the question everybody got. So you're no different. 50 and 5 last year. Here we are this year, a year later, give or take, right? And we're asking people, what have you done in this past year to rise to the challenge?
And I think that's a great question. And I think introspectively, this, you know, we have bolstered membership. We have built networks and built relationships with outliers that are now, instead of looking over the fence, they're playing ball with us. And that doesn't happen overnight. I look around and some of these companies have been around a lot longer than CGA has. And now they're in it to win it. And it's not just the sales teams. It's, can you meet with my CEO? How do we get more involved? I took your advice, Chris Ann. I sent every one of my salespeople to one committee meeting instead of them sitting in a hallway on their laptops. Yep. You know, I think active learning, active engagement is what I'm preaching to every one of our members, especially with the innovative strategy where they can make a difference. You don't just sit at your booth and expect to affect change. You have to be an active participant.
It happens in those rooms back there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And have a seat at the table.
Yes, because you have a voice.
You do.
So you're shaping it. So we're looking forward to 50 and 5. We're looking forward to next year hosting you in Orlando for the CJ's 25th anniversary.
In 2025?
Yes, it is. That's hard to believe already. So,
goodness.
You know, we're going to honor our proud history and tradition when we built this organization and with great energy really embrace the future of what we're going to be.
Mic drop. Chris Ann, thank you so much
for
letting us come out and be
a part
of this. We learned so much by sitting down with stakeholders across this whole group. And so we get better every time we're out here.
And we share those messages.
We love it.
It's on this platform or whether it's personally when
absolutely.
We're out.
You guys do a great job, and I'll take that win.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be back. This one's a long time coming.
Wait. With Forrest?
Yeah, you told me about Forrest. When did y'all meet? Because y'all met somewhere along the way.
I mean, the first time we met in person was maybe like 2 years ago or something.
Was it at CGA in...
No, it was...
Global Excavation?
It was Global Excavation. Yeah, like 2 years ago. Where was that? Was that in Phoenix?
That was in Phoenix.
Yeah. Yes. Was that a year ago or 2 years ago?
2 years ago. Last year was in Tampa.
That's right. Yep. This year was New Orleans. Last year was Tampa. Yep. It was Phoenix before that. That's where it was.
Yep.
But I've been seeing your guys' stuff all over LinkedIn for a good long time.
So we've been trying. We exchange messages here and there.
Yeah.
We'll be in comment threads wherever, crossing paths. So it's nice to get to shake your hand, sir.
It's nice to sit
and
down.
We've been in the same places. We've just been busy, which is a blessing.
That's right. It's hard to complain about being busy, but that's been the fact of the matter. Yeah.
Do us a favor for those who don't know you. Please introduce yourself and who you're with.
You bet. My name is Forrest Sim. I own Enhanced Scanning. We're a private locate firm based out of Southern California. We go quite a ways outside of Southern California, but that's where we're based. And then I also have a podcast called Concrete Conversations. We talk about subsurface stuff, damage prevention, but we're also just kind of construction in general, and talk to a lot of interesting people about interesting stuff, kind of like you guys.
You know, what a
podcast get together right now.
I mean, let's be honest. How blessed are we as podcasters to get to sit down with amazing people?
Yeah, we are.
No different
it's so
than you,
fun.
But you know what I'm saying. On the other side, I sit here many a times at these shows, and when we do them virtually. And just I'm in awe that someone is sitting down with us. We're such a liability. Like, really.
Well, I mean, the imposter syndrome of doing anything new. In fact,
sure.
I was talking with some folks about this earlier today. Imposter syndrome is not only a real thing. I feel like at every stage of my life, it's been a real thing. For example, the biggest imposter syndrome that I ever had was approaching this really cute girl when I was 22, who later like even agreed to marry me. But and there was just no reason why she should ever be seen in public with me. But I somehow got the gumption up to ask her to go on a date and kept asking her other stuff, like second dates and walking her to class. But man, imposter syndrome is a real thing. But I think it's kind of healthy, too. I think it's if you ever fully run out of imposter syndrome, never come across that anymore. And maybe some arrogance has started creeping in there. I think it's good for you.
Love it. Well, obviously, we're at the CGA here at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
What do you think of this event so far?
Oh, it's fantastic. This is my first time, actually.
Really?
Coming to a CGI. Yeah. It's just never worked out in the past. The schedules have never lined up. So this is just a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So I came last year. Jimmy's been several times, but I stepped foot in the door that first day. There was a DJ playing. We all walked into the hall, and I was like, man, this is my place. These are my people.
CJ does a great job of creating an environment, of creating a feeling here.
They absolutely do.
As an experience.
From the beginning to the end, all the way through. Even the first day with the networking day, where we got to meet folks, break the ice, get through all that stuff. So we started up day two, which was Monday, day two. Right out of the gates, there was, conversations were just flowing. But that also leads to, the mission here at CGA. Last year we talked about this, 50 and 5, reducing underground damages by 50% in 5 years. And now this year, a year later, they want a little check-in to say, how are we rising to that challenge? Yeah. What are we doing and what are we seeing in the industry? And any insight or any observations you want to bring for us, please help yourself.
I have an observation. I also have to first reiterate that I'm a private locator. So I'm not on the 811 side. I'm not a contract locator. So I have my opinions and my views, but you have to look at them. You have to remember that's the lens through which I'm looking at these things. This morning we had a fantastic keynote speaker, astronaut.
Sure. Yeah.
Great guy. Talked about the Challenger space shuttle and a lot of the problems that led up to that obviously catastrophic event.
Sure.
And one of the issues that he mentioned that he really hit home was that the amount that they were trying to get done and the time frame they were trying to do, they were trying to have 24 shuttle missions per year, which they never achieved. But they were trying to do so much in a span of time that they had to take shortcuts, and they just had to do things in a way that maybe they wouldn't have done if they just had less pressure to accomplish so much in so little time. And when he was talking about this, this is an unpopular opinion, guys, and I hope I don't offend anybody. But if I do, maybe I'm willing to offend somebody else
with
an opinion that I have that's strong. Yeah, that's okay. So I really wonder about the contract locating world and doing 30 tickets in a day, 25 tickets in a day, 50 tickets in a day. I know of a guy who one time had over 100 tickets in a day to locate, and I think that not only is that ambitious, but it is literally impossible to deliver that service, this locating service, crucial, vitally important, at the level it has to be delivered. If you're going to be going around to 30 sites a day, say nothing of doing it 50 or more times a day.
Sure.
My guys, and again, the workflow is very different between private and contract locating. I get that. My guys, if they do 5 sites in a day, 5 jobs in a day, this is a really busy day. And I wonder if we're not holding ourselves back from achieving these safety goals by setting these unrealistic standards of, look, I understand that you've got to hit 30 sites in a day, and if you don't hit those, then you've got to tack on whatever you missed today to tomorrow, but also do it safely, right?
Yeah.
Make sure and do it at a high level, a high quality level, because we're going to QAQC this, and you better be safe, and you better do it fast. And this is the age old, like, do you want it fast, do you want it cheap, or you don't want it done well?
Pick two.
Sure. Yeah.
Good, faster, cheaper.
So I just don't know if that's a great opinion to be bringing up. Hope I didn't offend anybody. If I did, then my name is Jim or James, and come and find my house. But that's just where it is.
I will just say this, and I haven't been at the CGA long, but I will say that in the short time that I have, that each perspective, right, we talk about stakeholder groups, but even within stakeholder groups, there's stakeholder groups, right?
Sure.
And so your point of view, your lens, your eye is completely valid, right? Now, we may have a contract locator show up and tell another story, right?
Yeah, sure.
But I think that's important because we're here in one location. We're fighting about it. We're rumbling about it. We're doing it here on camera sometimes too, but that's what we're here about, and that's what's trying to move that needle. Man, great
stuff. I sure appreciate you guys.
Thank you for stopping.
Thanks so much for what you're doing.
We'll see you on the internet. Keep doing the good stuff, brother.
That's great. I appreciate it. We'll have you guys on the contest sometime.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
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 Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey.
Sarah met my daughter today. Sarah cut my daughter. My daughter's my camera operator today. She cut my daughter to the front of the line with the astronaut.
She's my executive coordinator.
It was amazing.
So
many thanks to Sarah. Things. Little things. She's going to remember that her whole life.
Look
at that. Yeah, that's great.
Put a smile on
yellow's right over there.
I feel like I have to like video mom, you know, every time.
Every time. We would expect it.
It's your pattern. You have a pattern, ma'am. Hey, we'll be back.
Thank you.
We'd be a liability together.
Yeah,
so
being in that.
Did you start your day with a get ready with me?
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
What is a get ready with me? What are you guys talking about?
GRWM.
Oh, okay, so I learned about it last night. A buddy of mine, and you know, he's got older kids, and he said, hey, you're on social, you got a lot of social media stuff. And I was like, well, my wife runs it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, my daughter, even scarier, my daughter has a video with 1 million views. And my first thought was exactly what you're doing. Like, yo, bro, you need to talk to your kids. You just talk for an intervention, man, right?
Yeah.
But then he explained, he's like, no, it's not weird. It's a TikTok, Tic Tac phenomenon. And it was, and it's just like,
Tick.
You're going to have to.
It's a TikTok.
We'll translate this all later for the home viewers. TikTok,
Tic Tac phenomenon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going, bro.
Phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's get ready with me. And I thought,
is this real?
This is a real thing. But here's the thing. It is 95%, probably maybe even younger than that. But from my own brain, because I have kids, I'm going to say 18 to 25 year old girls. And it's them doing makeup and picking out what they're going to wear. And Tinkerbell here said, I said, how you feeling? She said, I feel fabulous. And all I could think was, well, did you post it? Like, did you post this process of fabulous?
I probably did.
Does somebody want to see me get, what was it called? Get ready with me?
Yeah. Wait.
You know what we should do for our brand, what we're trying to do here? Go digging with me.
Oh.
Let's just start a new trend. Go digging with me.
Go digging with me.
I might be onto something here.
GDWM.
Yep, that was it.
I like that.
Yeah.
And what we could do, though, is call 811 beforehand.
Yeah.
Okay. Get it marked.
Or we
and
could
let's
do
go dig it.
That could be part of our deal. We could just show. Well, of course, then you got to wait the time. I get what you say. We'll fast forward.
Time lapse.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, go digging with me. First step, call 811.
You might be onto something.
Yeah.
Our people are
I'm usually
people.
On things.
You and I met for the first time. You wouldn't remember. You meet so many people, but it was in Phoenix.
Okay.
In.
At the CGA. Convention.
It was at a convention.
And
yeah,
it was the one where they were doing a locate rodeo in the building.
Yeah.
See,
so
you
that's
very memorable. I do remember it.
Oh, boy,
yeah.
Please.
You were wearing a blue blazer.
I wear one all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. J.J. Harrison is joining us. Our old good friend. We got to get back on track.
Yeah, back on track. Sorry.
I'm still thinking about people. How do I video?
Phenomenon still.
Do I call it videotape when I'm using my phone to record me in the morning shaving under here? Getting ready with me? Anyways, let's get on track.
Okay.
JJ, how long have you been involved in damage prevention?
2012. So it started with Cascade Natural Gas. I live in Washington State, and I rodeo for a living. If you haven't been able to figure this out, I'm a rodeo clown.
Yeah.
And
no.
I got a phone call that was kind of strange from a lady that worked at rodeo, and she said, hey, Cascade Natural Gas would like to visit with you about your rodeo barrel.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, you got to call my agent. And at this time I did not remote, and we hung up after I gave her my own phone number, the same phone number she had just dialed. So then she called right back. She was like, I'm just playing. I don't have an agent. I don't even know what you,
for the clown
what you mean.
Bit.
It's the first time I'd ever really been approached by anybody about anything.
I'm using that.
Do
I got to use that. Next time I'll be like, hey, listen,
I would love to talk more about this, but you got to
call
my
assistant.
Yeah. Yep. And then, hell, it can be you, but at least it makes.
Oh, yeah, I'll give this my number. Have you call back in 25 seconds.
Yeah, you look like a baller. Like, yeah, I'm a busy, you know, I got stuff rolling. So anyway, we started going through my schedule and what I do, and you know, I kind of got a personality. And so they were immediately like, yo, this might be bigger than us. Let's take this. And a wonderful lady named Tina Beach and Ryan Beaver at the time were there. And they were just, you know, rodeo fans and fans of me. And they wanted to see me with the 811 branding on me. And they kind of jump started that. And that year was the year that I worked the NFR, one of the Super Bowl of rodeo, right? And so it was like a pretty good deal for
Tinkerbell knows.
Yeah, Tinkerbell knows. That a girl. Mm-hmm. There you go. And it just kind of we got huge response, we got big numbers, and then it was like, okay, this is what we need to do, and Papa is my group. So I'm you know, probably the umbrella of CGA, but Papa and Kesley Tweed.
Yes, Kesley.
Jeff Terrell's before
we
that.
We had her on in New Orleans last
month. Yeah, Nollins. Yeah.
We like Kesley.
She's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, fun energy, and so it's been good. You know, and I've watched over the 12 years of being involved with damage prevention, I've watched it evolve into, hey, we just want to put 811 on you, to now, hey, we want your social media to be interactive. We want X, Y,
and Z. Spin the wheel.
Yeah. Well, I'm a wheel spinner over there. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, there's a wheel over there. I did cheat and got in trouble with the lady that was working with me. It was a little bit serious. She's like, hey, they got an Ohio and you gave them New York's prize. I was like, they're both $2 giveaways. Let's just get this done together.
Maybe $2.99.
Could be.
Okay.
Could be.
Allegedly.
But anyway, so that's how it kind of started. And, you know, and then I realized kind of over the years of doing this, I've had wonderful stories of people coming up and you know, hey, I saw you at the rodeo and I didn't know what 811 was. A lot of people, when they see it on me, they think it's like a jersey number.
Sure.
You know, so
I'm amazed at how many people don't know what 811 is.
Even today.
Yeah.
But we live it.
Yeah.
They don't. I mean, that's you got to remember, like, and that's why this is important. No matter how many times we say it, you got to keep saying it.
Right.
You do.
Because it's not something that you can get complacent with, because it can be forgotten just like that. It's not something people do every day. They don't go out with tractors and shovels and dig every day. So it's very easy to get complacent. I work with bulls just about every day. But if I have a month off, I better go back to a little practice pen and maybe work on some things and sharpen up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it can be bad if you're not sharp.
No, absolutely. Or electricity. Again, thank you for all you do for the industry. Thank you for everything you do for damage prevention. You're making a difference. You're fun.
So.
You're educational. You're interactive. All those things that we need. And you hit it there.
You forgot pretty.
Very pretty.
Thank you.
Allegedly.
I got to get ready better.
You better go get ready.
I appreciate it. But I can say the same thing about what y'all are doing. It's just talking about it. It's just finding people with a passion for it, and then being able to put your passion to somebody else.
Definitely.
Because
if we could spread the message to one person, that person makes a difference and does something safer, and they do it to another person, that's when it all starts to spider web out. So it does begin with one person, doesn't
exactly
it?
Right.
Yeah.
I always tell people, too, and then I'll set up, I promise, but I always tell people that are in damage prevention, you're superheroes. You just don't realize it. You should wear capes. Because every time that message gets out, you don't know. You don't get to know the lives that you save. You don't get to know it. But when that guy calls 811, instead of just going in there with his rented backhoe and whacking into a gas line, a high voltage line, that you saved his life.
Yeah.
And you can't imagine that. If he'd lost his life, think of the impact to his family, his generational family. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so very the people true. In damage prevention are superheroes. They just don't get credit for it. It's like police officers. They do something great. They take a sex offender off the street. They don't come out and go, hey, guess what we did today? No, we don't even know that it happened.
Right.
And that's why we you know, salute our first responders. And that's why we should throw CGA and a lot of people in damage prevention right into that group.
Man, he mic dropped us. Mic drop
is right.
JJ. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you, brother. It was nice.
It was nice to you.
I'll follow
stay
your,
tuned for
in, morning's videos.
No. Stay tuned for going digging with us.
Go digging with me.
Go digging with me.
There you go.
Go digging JJ. With me.
We'll be back.
Get you.
I brought you one.
Yeah. I just threw all the stickers on the floor.
I don't know right now.
Thank
I am
you,
feeling.
Look at that.
It's a good looking hat.
You kind of look like a badger, honey badger.
aren't those honey badgers mean and vicious? Yeah, I'm like the sweetest, nicest.
We've hung out a lot this week already.
Yes.
With badger folks, they've been everywhere. They're pretty
we've
popular.
Been hanging, you've been golfing with them.
Yeah.
I have not, but saw some on the Jeep tour, and then as well, we hung out with you last year in Orlando.
Yes.
Yeah, that's and I beat one of met. Your loser teammates in cornhole too.
All right, I'm not
well, are you guys still in the tournament?
We are.
Are you?
Yes.
Listen.
Maybe we're going to meet.
That would be amazing.
That would be.
As I like to say,
it's a live stream.
We always need somebody to take second place, so we appreciate you being in the tournament.
Oh.
And we mean us.
Yeah.
We're here with our good friend Kendra. Do us a favor before we get too far down the road. Let everybody know who you are and who you're with.
Yeah, I'm Kendra Geiger. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications for Badger. Badger is a hydro excavation provider. We serve the U.S. and Canada. We have about 140 locations across the U.S. and Canada. We're the largest hydrovac service provider in all of the U.S. and Canada.
Okay, wow. I have a question for you.
Yeah?
We understand it very well.
Yeah.
But there are going to be some folks out there that you just said some words that are going to be like, what does that mean? I heard hydro. I heard excavation. We're at a damage prevention summit, Common Ground Alliance. I mean, the mecca of all damage prevention conferences this year. What does that actually mean? What is your product? What is that? I will say trucks, because they're big. What do they do for like the lay people out there that may not really understand them? What's an easy way for them to understand?
Yeah. So ultimately, our truck digs a lot safer than if you were to use like a yellow piece of iron or something and put the bucket
in
the ground.
Like a backhoe.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, or excavator, anything like that. We dig with the power of water, and then we vacuum it all up.
Okay, so my analogy, just correct me if I'm wrong, because I've told people this story before. I said, imagine going out to your backyard and having a wet, dry shop vac.
Yeah.
Okay? And you want to plant a geranium right there, and you take a hose and you pour water on the ground. At the same time, you suck up all that wet dirt, and the next thing you know, in a minute, you have a beautiful, nice hole.
Yep.
Is that?
You could definitely, do that, make a hole for your planting there, and then take any excess backfill out of the hole you didn't need. But what we're unique is, though, is compared to other providers that are here, is we're truly a service provider, right? We manufacture the truck. We manufacture all of our trucks in Red Deer. But you can't buy a Badger. You can't rent a Badger. We self-perform. So we're vertically integrated. You can only be a Badger.
I like it.
We create all of the trucks to serve our business. So we know markets that may need them. And we kind of control that ourselves.
Okay.
And so the only way that if you see a Badger on the job site, it's because somebody contracted us to be a service provider. And there's some benefits to that too, right?
Yeah.
Buying one of these hydrovacs is pretty expensive.
Sure.
Very. I'd call it $750,000 to $1 million, depending on what you're getting, right? And you can use our service for a half day, a week,
a
month, as needed. But the key differentiator is the operator comes with the truck. So,
trained, certified,
qualified,
all those steps.
Yeah. And I was just in a session earlier about the vacuum excavation, and somebody raised their hand like, I don't want to mention the person that was in the session, but how do you train somebody? Like, we just bought a hydrovac. Like, how do you train them? We had a line strike today. Well, that's kind of a problem, right? And so I think some people, they see the cost of maybe a rental, or I don't want to call it a rental, but our service, and it seems a little high up front to them for a day or whatever. Well, I could do this so many times and just of my own. Well, then you got the maintenance, the upkeep, the training, all the liability for if your operator gets hurt, all of those things, right?
Labor costs,
costs. So, all of our operators go through a minimum of a 90-day training.
Mm.
They're paired with an operator we have mentors. They're paired with a mentor operator within Badger that's already been working, and they go through the training with them and have that person. And we don't let anybody out in the truck until they're signed off on the training. So not only is the way that we dig safe, but all of our staff is trained the same and all safe digging.
That's cool. Obviously, we're here live at the Common Ground Alliance here at the Broadmoor.
Yes.
Colorado
Beautiful
Springs.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out. It's amazing. Nice. The hall's wide open now. Y'all have got a big booth down there. Obviously, got a truck in here. Have you been to these events before, big CGA events?
Yeah. So Badger's been participating in the CGA for many years. I've only had the opportunity to be here a couple times because I've only been with Badger a few years, but Badger has been very involved in the CGA for many years, and we continue to, you know, we want to be involved with the CGA for many years to come. You know, example, last year we had a 10 by 20 booth. I mean, as you mentioned, this year we've really
a little bit bigger.
And so a little over 1,000 square feet.
You know, hosting the events, the bowling, I guess, on both ends, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we had the bowling event tomorrow night.
That's what I meant.
Right after the night of networking, which everybody knows that is the best night. Yeah. And so to have the bowling party afterwards.
Allegedly. It's going to be a continuation. Let's follow up. I know you got to get going because there are a ton of people in here.
Yeah.
Yes.
50 and 5, we launched that as a community last year. This year, we're coming back and saying rising to the challenge. And we're asking folks, how are we as an industry helping to rise to that challenge of reducing damages by 50% in 5 years? Yeah. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big goal. I definitely think it's achievable, but it's going to take all of us, right? There's multiple stakeholders that are involved that everybody's going to have to come together to achieve it. For us specifically, right, it comes down to safe digging practices.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what we've been doing for over 30 years. And so we're going to continue to do that. We have locations where people's projects are, you know, like I mentioned, 140 across the U.S. and Canada. So we're pretty much anywhere anybody would need us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to continue to serve those markets and partner with the customers, not just write quotes and say, hey, this is what it's going to cost for a day rate. Like, our people go out on the job site. They take a look at the risks that are involved. Our safety teams out there, you know, we're truly partners on the project with them. So we're going to continue to do that. And be a part of the CGA.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for taking the time.
And I hope we meet again here shortly.
I know. Maybe we're going to face each other in the cornhole.
Again, second place is a good place to be.
Hey, we'll be back.
We'll see you.
We're at the Broadmoor live from Common Ground Alliance here, Colorado Springs. And I come down, you know, the circus that is my room.
Oh, like my goodness.
It's an old hotel, right? I mean, there's a lot of history.
Yep.
So to get to my room is like through some magic passageways and up two flights of stairs that you only
No elevator.
Total liability.
Oh, wow.
So I come down from the spiral staircase, and there's John just backlit coming out.
Was that like
down there? And I was like, my brain didn't put it together. And then I remembered you saying he was going
to be in town. Yep. He was going to stop by the
What CJ. A rare occasion. Because we used to be around each other a lot.
All the time.
We saw each other at shows. And we cherish these times we get to be together.
Catch up for sure.
John, for those that don't know, you introduce yourself. Who you with?
No, John Smith. So I run Veteran Horizons now, which is my own business, and based upon my past in energy and locating in damage prevention and measurement, I'm doing kind of a lot of really the fun things I got to do when I was a CEO in the business in the space, and I think that you know, most of all, everything from mentoring and leadership coaching to executives to advising potential investors in the space. And even working with companies in the space to help them operationally, you know, improve what they're doing, improve their customer experience. And it's really keeps me going. No 2 days are the same. And I also, at the same time, have been able to be very active in nonprofit organizations as well on the boards. So it's really been a very fulfilling, and it's taking off right now. And CGA is just a part of that, to come and kind of network and to also reconnect and to help educate some people also in our industry.
And you had you been to CGA events before this?
I've been to two previous CGAs. But this is fantastic. What a job they did.
Well,
the attendance here is, I think we said there was like 1,400 people.
Yes.
Incredible.
That's a great gathering in this industry.
And I hate to use the word like-minded, because that's not what I mean. Like, we're all
same
hive
focus.
Mind, but
we're, same focus.
That's 1,400 very dialed in folks on a goal, a mission. I mean, we all know it, 50 and 5. But just as a segment, there's few, man, I'm going to really piss a lot of people off.
Go ahead.
But
you've done it
few
before.
There's few groups like a damage prevention group. Like, we're all in it. Safety is awesome. Compliance is awesome. You know, manufacturing awesome. Like, all these things are important. But what I mean is damage prevention is so important. And the people that are in it are special. Mm-hmm. Like, they just here for a reason.
Well, and it's one of the few organizations where all of these buildups in the infrastructure kind of come together. You kind of meet at damage prevention. Because whether you're doing natural gas, electrification, fiber optic, anything else, this matters. Yep. You know, this matters. You can see it just from the range of products and services, heavy equipment that's here.
Tech. I mean,
all of this every plays little together.
Have you ever seen one of those units before, sir?
I have seen one of those before. Yes.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. And you know, damage prevention is it's such a crossover between everything that's going on. It involves everything we talk about at other organizations like geospatial mapping. It involves accuracy.
Yep.
It involves you know, the customer experience and, you know, are you on time? Are you doing, is it accurate? Yeah. All these things playing together. And you said like-minded individuals. That's what's so interesting about it is you've got people here from all different sectors of energy install and services.
Utilities, yeah.
And everybody's thinking about the same thing. Everybody's here. How do we get better? How do we reduce damages? How do we get better at just, you know, basically what we're doing in our daily lives? And I think that is driving the improvement in this industry and in a lot of the interest in this industry.
And the thought process too, a lot of the comments with the knowledge sharing, people are saying to achieve that 50 and 5, there's so much human emphasis behind it, but people are saying it's the tech aspect that's got to help push us and get us to that level.
Yeah.
And the advancement of tech, and not just the last decade, but actually in the last 2 to 3 years, how much we've seen here at this show.
And it's only going to accelerate. I mean, I'm dealing in this a little bit right now with a couple companies, but I'm going to say two letters that I'm going to really
piss off people. Not him. He loves it. Go ahead.
AI. That is going to play a role. And just the compression of the timeline of change with technology and what we've seen already.
Sure.
Yeah. Is just going to affect this industry more. And I think this industry in damage prevention, gas, whatever it is, telecom, is going to have to be open to change and open to trying new things. Because that's really, as we're going to push forward, there's going to be a lot of innovation.
It's going to be fast.
It is.
I mean,
there's a lot of smart people doing things out there right now.
And let me ask you a question. We give a presentation, claim your seat at the table, talking about some generations are retiring in these market segments and new generations are coming in. And the understanding and the acceptance of high-tech AI with the generation coming in is very accelerated. Like, for them, it can be day in and day out use. Like, I'll be honest, James is like very well versed in that, and he understands it a lot more than I do.
I'll tell you, I was in Tampa last week speaking to a group, the Suncoast HR. They had about 250 people. One of the speakers that followed me was talking about exactly that generational difference and how that, you know, she broke the generations down. How this is the first time really when we've had 4, sometimes 5 generations in the workforce, but that Gen Z that's coming in right now. That sometimes is getting a bad rap.
Yeah.
And really, some of her insights, I mean, you do hear people say, oh, they're lazy, they're entitled. The perspective I agree with her is they've got an attitude of give me a challenge and I'm going to fix it faster than you did. And they're going to be able to do that because they have the talent and the skills at their fingertips now to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm really very optimistic about the two youngest generations that are coming in right now. I think they're bringing expectations, which I think a lot of maybe our generation's kind of followed on, but they're bringing new expectations. And the energy industry and damage prevention is going to have to be open to that. And that energizing the change cycle and bringing things forward is just going to be so key.
So allow me to retort, Senator. So I also think there's a big segment. I was 34 years old when I joined this industry, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we have to, everyone just, our brains immediately go to Gen Z and fixing a worker gap, right? I know that's the future and we got to tackle that too. But I also think we're losing people to other industries and we're not attracting. I mean, we've talked about it. This is a great way to tell our stories and get it out there, but we're getting our butts whooped from a marketing standpoint. And and so we've got to get it from everywhere. It's me at 34 years old, tech guy, that walked away and thought he walked away from tech, and here I am.
Right, but you know what I mean.
But going to an industry segment, that we have to have a lot of stories like that too, because generationally, we're going to be fine. We all worry about the generation after us, right? If you go back in the books, the same dialogue was about us, right? And so, and that's healthy. I think that's huge. But I think we got to steal, beg, and borrow from everywhere.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, because there's experience that's being lost every day that we're not recapturing. That's now, the good part is those people are hanging around, coming back in as consulting and other things. But I think also at the same time, you know, I think that those people entering us right now, and I agree with you on the marketing. And I think some of that is, and I'm hearing more things that make me think positively about this, but this, these younger generations are coming, have different expectations of work. Now they can get things done, but they want maybe time off. They want more, you know, free time to do things. They want, you know, they want to basically work and have that balance. But still, they'll put in the work, I think, that just like we did. But I think that's where we've got, as leaders in these organizations and leaders who want to attract this new talent, we've got to change our thinking in some ways. And sometimes I think we're crossing that. But as leaders in the organizations, start listening a little more than we're talking.
Good point.
Listening to what is important to really try and retain those people, because we'll get them in the door. It's like when I was a founder of Veterans in Energy. 501c3, if you don't know about it, it you know, I can put people in touch. But they bring military members who are transitioning into the energy industry. But that wasn't all our mission. The mission of Veteran Energy also is to work with the companies in our space to say, look, you're gonna have to do things a little differently. And so we help them, and we help them to retain those people. And if you don't, you can bring a lot of people in, but if you don't retain them at the end of the day,
bring out all you want. They're walking out the back door. Yeah.
We want people who are going to have 20 and 30 year careers 100%. In this industry.
Yep. 25 years.
That was a good one.
We get it all the time.
With the big question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last year, the challenge was given out by the CGA that over the next 5 years to reduce damages by 50%, underground damages. This year was really more of a check-in. How are we as an industry rising up to that challenge? What do we see that we're either doing or we're seeing the industry doing that is really stepping up to that? Any observations that you have about that?
Well, two things. I think one is that the quality of work is being appreciated a lot more than just the execution of the work.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Okay.
You know, you can go out and you can do a lot of things, but if you're not accurate, you're still going to have damages. Now, that comes with a price tag on the customer side. But again, it gets back to that relationship. If you really, in the provider of that service, think about quality and what it means to the customer and being available and really partnering with them, and the customer is willing to make sure that, you know, that service provider is also taken care of to the point that they can keep flourishing.
Sure.
That partnership, I think, is what's driving what I've seen in the last year. That's really happened. I'm hearing more about customer service providers and others in the industry partnering, not just signing a contract. And I think that's a really positive move to get this done.
And that goes into a cultural move too, where it's not just the ink on the paper, but it's more so how are we aligning to do this? Great point.
John, great to see you.
Always good
to sit down and talk shop with you. I know we'll get another shot down the road, brother.
I know we will.
Absolutely.
Right. We'll be back. I learned a lot about Bob Bishop last night.
We had a good talk in New
about
Orleans.
About barbecue.
Yeah.
Do you know that side?
Bob? No.
Oh, well, let's start there.
Yeah.
Bob, introduce yourself.
Yeah, please.
Blah, blah, blah.
All right. Hey, Bob Bishop here. I'm with Pelican Corp. Focus on GeoLantis 360, our data management mapping solution.
Solid. That's it?
That's it. We're good. Thank you for joining us.
It's, hey, we'll
no,
be back.
No. Yeah. So barbecue.
We were
That's where I thought we were going.
And then, yes. Yeah, we were talking about, well, Bob and I were trying to determine where we first met, and it was a CGA event in the last, let's just say, 5 years.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the lines. So we've known each other through the industry for some time. But then I hear you guys got connected and now we're talking about barbecue.
Yeah, we were eating oysters.
You what?
Yeah, copious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oysters.
Oh, you guys were at Drago's at... okay, that's one of my favorite places. Yes.
We were repeat offenders.
How many dozen oysters did you do?
No, it wasn't about quantity. It was about quality.
But I stomached 17 at dinner.
Yeah. Dozen.
Yeah.
17 bucks. No, you can't.
No, 17 oysters.
They are delicious.
No, this dude's a master. Okay, say it how you told us last time, because someone came up and was like, oh, barbecue, blah, 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 and then said, like, what do you normally place?
Oh, yeah, we cruise in the top three.
Like, confidence.
Yeah.
With top three, like, competition style barbecue. Yeah.
How many competitions do you do in a year?
It depends, but I'd say 17 dozen.
And what's your meat of choice? Do you have one or not?
Yeah, yeah, so... I mean,
personal and then competition. I think we
okay.
covered this.
Well, they're one and the same. The tri-tip that's my jam.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, brisket's fine. You know, everybody loves the brisket, but I do a short cook time on the tri-tip and I can turn them out. And I make a horseradish cream dip sauce that goes with it. I mean, when we win in the beef category, it's with a tri-tip over other people's.
So you just kind of breezed over brisket, and I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
And so that hurt my heart a little bit.
It could.
But I love a tri-tip taco. I think, you know, Nick tried, we talked about it at the table too.
Nick Temple?
Same table.
Yeah.
We talked about the tri-tip and just how special it is. So anyway, that's what we do here at Damage Prevention Events.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
It brings the industry together.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let me get us back on track because I do want to say about that while it may have seemed
How
like
do you fun, feel about Colorado barbecue? Is it your favorite school?
I don't think so.
I'm just kidding. I just railroaded. It was funny because Colorado doesn't have a school of barbecue, I don't think.
Well, okay, but being serious, now I'm going to guess, for the one time I'm being serious, this is like totally, I mean, the
me
world
and Bob
is going
are like stepbrothers. It's basically like me
Am
and
Am I
Sam
bringing
Hall.
This out in you?
This I don't know what, it, I think it is.
I mean, it's our first conversation.
On the camera. Yeah. But, okay, we're talking about barbecue, something fun, but it's about relationships. And this industry is based on relationships.
100%.
And it is like, and we've known each other for years. Are we best friends? No, but are we good friends enough that if you were to call me or I were to call you, we'd be like, let's
Absolutely.
Help each other.
Yep.
And I might not have the answer, but I'd be like, Bob, you know what? I think I know a person. And we make a joke a lot saying, I know a guy or a lady that we could get that answer for you or vice versa. That's what this industry is based on. Yeah. That's why relationships are so important. So when we can spend time fellowshipping over barbecue, it's much more than just food. It is really about the cementing of these.
Yeah.
And here, only 1,400 people, only. And when we have, you know, hundreds of thousands in the industry, it makes a difference. That's all I wanted to say.
Wow.
With that,
what a tangent.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, that was a nice filibuster.
Yeah.
We are.
I should be a senator.
We are at Common Ground Alliance Conference and Expo this year in Colorado Springs. And last year at this time, we found out about 50 and 5.
Yeah.
Most of us did, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so now as we look back, what we're asking people this year is, you know, we're rising to it, right?
Yeah.
So what have you guys done? What have you done? I want to hear personally what you've done to move that needle.
The products that I have at my disposal to sell that really – facilitate that 50 and 5 initiative, I think of Geolantis 360, our data collection and mapping software. And I think that probably 90% of the sessions are around mapping at this event. It's a high number. Yeah. Mapping related in some capacity.
Don't say mapping too loud. Sam Hall's right.
He's right over, it's right over here.
Yeah. Don't say mapping too loud.
No, we won't talk about it right now, but he may jump in.
He will. But, he'll come over here.
You know, it's me personally. I mean, it's that message of moving into application. We've talked about this for a long time. As an industry, we have. We have sat at many a round table as an industry and said, we should do this.
We got it down in our echo chamber.
Yeah, yes. And it's, yeah, it's, I think we need to stand boldly and say, you know, it's time to implement
this. It's time to work.
Yeah.
One thing, I'm an ex-gas guy and I'm more an operations person than other things, but one thing that I've heard, especially from you and others, is over the last 2 years how technology and tech and some of these advances are going to help us to achieve that. Where, you know, back in my day, 25 years ago, it was paper and pen. Now we're using technology to accelerate and help us. And from what I'm seeing, it's absolutely, I think, and you said it last year, you're like, Jimmy, mark my words, technology is going to help us. It's going to help get us there, not just help, but get us there.
Yeah, I mean, we have to have people to run it, but
we're
making leaps and bounds over this past year, and a lot of it's around the tech.
Yeah. Technology is helping those of us that want to adopt it, but in this industry, I have heard, I wish I had a dollar for every time I heard, well, I don't know that, we've just always done it that
way.
Oh,
gosh. It's a kiss of death.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that. I mean,
it really is. And, and those individuals, it's, you know, hard to get them to adapt the technology, adopt it into their business model. And it's just going to take repetition and some awesome use cases to help educate the industry more.
Yeah.
I mean, the technology that's on the floor here at this conference, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's incredible. And a lot of people are going to go home and talk about it for a little while, and then they'll go back to their day-to-day. And then I'm going to talk about it again in 360 days.
If I could jump in with one other thing, I'm going to give you a little credit. Don't ever hold his arm like this again, but I always do.
It's aggressive.
He came up with a presentation that we give called Claim Your Seat at the Table.
Yeah.
Many different things, but one of it about the new generations that are entering in our industry. And as I see that next generation coming in and I'm more in, you know, communicating with them, their understanding and acceptance of technology and such is unbelievable. So these, you know, 22-year-old to 35-year-old, they're like, well, that makes sense. Why don't we do it that way? It's my generation that are more like pen and paper. That's the way we've always done it. I know it's not me, but I'm just saying as a generality. And we have to try to pass it.
Yeah, there's a gap there.
Sometimes it is.
I don't use. You know when your grandpa tries to program the microwave? Very similar.
Where's my Motorola flip phone?
Bob, always a pleasure, brother.
Thanks for letting us ramble.
Yeah. We've seen each other so often this year.
This is good.
Surely again.
Let's just keep it a habit.
All right. Hey, we'll be back.